Ninja Scroll, Battletech, can't do that on television, Transformers, Saints Row is Grand Theft Auto, listen you can hit a toasty when I finish you on Mortal Kombat, I can speak another language with nerd English.
What's up everybody, this is your boy F Major, and welcome to Divided We Game. I'm going to be your host today, joined by a co-host, which is wonderful, and this is first time on the show, and I'm glad you could make it. We got a lot of fun shit to talk about. Okay, I'm lying, we only got one fun thing to talk about. But we're going to do a show very similar to the very first show we did. And those of you who remember, the first show we did was Fortnite versus PUBG. And there was five of us giving our opinions about those two games and which one we thought was better. Well, today I'm going to be doing one. And my friend Tylo is going to be doing one. And I also got one comment from Lane County Gamers from our friend Ryan. So before I get into that, I wanted to say happy anniversary to the crew. The show is 2 years old today. Yay! And I know this because we launched it 2 years ago on my birthday, which is also today. But that's not important. What's important is the show. A lot of changes has happened since we first launched. We're getting our shit together a little bit better than we normally are. Like, the show is coming out a little bit more consistently now that we've gone to the once-a-month pattern. Our crew is noticeably smaller. We still have Melissa with us. Michael has gone on to bigger and better things. He's going to be gaming semi-professionally now. And that's taking up most of his time. So we won't have access to him like we normally do. But he'll be back whenever he can make the time to do so. But he, if you want to see him and follow him, for those of you who don't know, that's The Gimmick on Xbox. Can follow him. He is with a team called Econ Gaming, and from what I hear, they're really good, and they're competing right now on the Modern Warfare circuit, the new one, which I think is probably the only one. I'm not sure that Modern Warfare had a circuit before the new iteration, the new Modern Warfare Call of Duty, and so we do miss him, but we do wish him the best, and we know he'll be back like for Thanksgiving or some shit like that. In any case, Styles is still with us. He's living in a new place, and he's putting together his studio. His next podcast will be coming forth in October. He'll be doing the October episode where he will be discussing the PS5. He already got most of his content together, and we can't wait to get that out to you. But that'll be around next month for you, and it'll be perfect timing because from what I understand, Xbox has announced that their go live date for the new Xbox series is going to be November 20th. So you know the PS5 is going to be right around that time. And it'll probably be me who does the Xbox compared to his PS5 thing. I'm going to do the Xbox. So it'll probably be me to do that. And I need to get back into PC again because, drum roll please. Okay, that didn't sound like a drum roll, but fuck it. The Flight Simulator finally came out, and I'm the only nigga I know that can't play it right now because I burnt out my graphics card, so I can't even PC game right now. So I'm stuck to consoles, which is not necessarily bad, but I want to play that Flight Simulator. Flight Simulator to me is a lot like Animal Crossing. It's one of those games where it get to be so good to you that you could spend 4, 5, 6 months doing just that. And no other games. Like, something big has to come along to snap you out of that, how much you love Animal Crossing. And I believe the same for the Flight Simulator. I'm going to be doing that shit. Especially when you hear that motherfuckers is doing shit like, they had a hurricane on the East Coast not too long ago. And in the game, in the Flight Simulator game, you can mirror real world weather. So motherfuckers was flying into the hurricane on the Flight Simulator, and I want to be able to enjoy that. I want to do shit like that because that sounds fun to me, because I would never do. See, the whole thing about gaming to me is I will do shit gaming that I would never do in real life. So the type of games I like are shit that I could never do. So when you talk about your Maddens and your NBA Lives and all that type of shit and UFC and that type of stuff, that doesn't appeal to me because those are things I could do in real life. Give me the space game. Give me the Wild Wild West game. Give me the zombie apocalypse. That shit I can never do in real life. I want to have experiences that are exclusive to the gaming world. You know, stuff I'll never be able to do. In any case, today, because it is my birthday, and because it is the 2-year anniversary of Divided We Gained as a podcast, what I would like to talk about is something that I once called the best game ever. Do I still feel like that? Absolutely. It is called The Last of Us. Y'all know the way I break these things up. I like to do it by past, present, and future, if that makes any sense. So that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to try not to take very long because Tylo is going to give his opinion about the game as well. And I don't want to take up too much time from him. I want it to be about an equal amount of time that we do. In any case, so the past. I have said that The Last of Us is the best game ever made. I have said that it is, at the very least, my favorite game. Everything that I ever wanted in a gaming experience, The Last of Us gave it to me. It gave me great gameplay. It gave me monsters that I was scared of, but not scared enough that they would keep me up at night and I would be able to go to sleep. It gave me a sense of purpose. It gave me a fantastic storyline. And it did one extra thing that I was not expecting. And that is, it made me feel things. Up until that point, I had never had a game actually physically make me cry before. When I started crying, I thought that it was super dusty in the room that I was playing in. I was like, this is not me crying over this shit, is it? And the part that I cried at, and by the way, just in case you do not know, which you should by now, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. This review, this podcast that you're listening to right now is going to talk about both The Last of Us 1 and The Last of Us 2. So if you haven't played it, come back after you played it, and then you can listen. Until then, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to turn off your podcast app. 3, 2, 1. And the thing that was crazy to me was the part that I cried on was a completely different part than most people did. The part in part one of this game that I cried on was when Sam found out, or when Sam disclosed that he had been bit. For those of you who don't remember, Sam was the little black kid who Ellie tried to give the it was a stuffed animal or a doll or a toy, something like that too. And he reveals that he was bitten. And I cried. That was the first time a video game ever induced that type of emotion from me. Because that was a fucking terrifically acted moment. And it didn't just make me feel bad for Sam. It made me feel bad for his dad. But the whole game was just phenomenal. And then, of course, the giraffe, just the whole thing. The giraffes was just amazing. That was another one where that gave me a little bit of the chills, that moment. But the part that really fucked me up, and I'm sure this is true with a lot of you guys, was the end. Because I totally did not see that coming. And the reason why it fucked me up is because I spent the next 5 minutes after the game had ended looking at a blank screen. And I think I did that because I was trying to figure out who was the bad guy. Was the Fireflies the bad guys? Or was Joel the bad guy? Now, I know what he did was a piece of shit move. But he saved that girl's life. And all I wanted was for this one to answer that question. Who was the bad guy? Was the Fireflies the bad guy? Or was Joel the bad guy? Because I couldn't make up my mind. I know that there was some DLC that came after the first one. I did not get a chance to play that. So maybe I need to play that to find out who was the real bad guy. Because believe it or not, part two didn't help. It didn't help answer that question. Who was the bad guy? Was it bad? for him, which I do. I'm on the side of thinking Joel was the bad guy because taking that that antidote that what is it? Because we're working on one for the pandemic. That vaccine, taking that vaccine away from people who need it by not letting that surgery happen to Ellie, that kind of secured that he was a bad guy to me, kind of does. But at the same time, how can you be mad at him for saving somebody's life? The whole thing is baffling. It's one of those, I forget what the term is, but you know, like when they say, if there's one person standing on train tracks over here and five people tied to train tracks over here and you have the switch, who do you let the train run over? That type of shit. So it never did answer that question for me. So I'm going to just jump right into number two. But I did love the game. Let me just say that. I did love the game. And I still think it's in my top three. And it's probably still number one. Because I absolutely loved that game. It was just so good. Fast forward into number two. Number two was nothing like what I was expecting. I honestly believe that I hate played it the first time. The story was not what I was expecting. It didn't answer the questions from the first one that I had. And it didn't give me the same emotions. There was no crying on the second one. My heart was filled with love for any of the characters, not even Ellie in the second one. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be in love with her because she is the protagonist, but I couldn't feel it the same way I felt it last time because now she's an adult and now she's making what I think are questionable decisions. And that's fine. That's human. That's what we do. And that's why I finally figured out after I got done with playing the game the first time, after I hate played the whole thing, that I actually loved it. That it was fantastic. And it was fantastic for two reasons for me. The first reason is because it did something I've never seen before. And maybe it has happened before, I just haven't seen it. Which is how many enemies over the course of our gaming careers have we killed? You get what I'm saying? How many of those unknown, unnamed bad guys from the Koopa or all of these different antagonists are sending out, we kill these people in these games. Call of Duty. We just shoot motherfuckers and don't think twice about it. This was the first game I ever seen that gave one of those characters a story. And what that did for me was it gave every single person I shoot in these games a story. They're not just people for me to shoot. They have a story. They have a life. You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds crazy, but to me, this was the first time that they took a couple of them if we're not bullshitting, but they took the other side story and showed us what's happening from their point of view so that it's not just a run and gun type of situation. And I appreciate that. And we get to see that a person who, okay, so if they didn't do the whole second part of The Last of Us, she would have just been another bitch we got to shoot and kill and just go on about the game. But now they gave depth to just a regular old ass person. And we got to see what life was from her side. And people hate Abby, and the bitch got death threats. You know, the bitch that played her got death threats. Like, in real life, people were sending this bitch death threats. Like, you played Abby, so I'm going to have to kill you, bitch. You're going to die, and all this other type of shit, right? She just played a character. And people were that upset by it. But I'm like this. She was not wrong for wanting to avenge her daddy. I can't find a motherfucker who will argue the point that she was wrong for killing the person who killed her father. But people still hate her. And I don't understand that part of it. Why are you so mad at her? She was doing what any of us would have did. Because you're not going to put your hands on my mama and me not retaliate in some shape, form, or fashion. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. That shit will not be happening in Effington's universe, okay? So why would I then get mad at this bitch? The only reason why we mad at her is because we know Ellie's story. We know what this bitch been through. We know where she came from, how she got there, and what she was supposed to do. We know her significance. Abby don't know that. She don't know that about her. She just know that her daddy is dead and somebody need to pay. And I'm going to be honest in saying I would feel the exact same way. They gave this bitch depth. We got to see everything she went through. And honestly, I'm glad that they took part of the story to show her side. Now, here's where the second reason why I love it comes into play. The story was about the price of revenge. If you think about it, Ellie and Abby just had the exact same shit happen to them. Both of them had somebody taken from them, and they both wanted revenge for it. Now, look at all the shit that they lost. All the shit that it cost them. It cost Ellie her motherfucking fingers. It cost her her family. Okay? Abby, it cost her every friend she had left on the earth. This bitch ain't got nobody left except for Lev. Was it worth it for either one of them? And that's why I'm so glad that Ellie did not kill her at the end. I'm glad because we lost her for a minute. Ellie was going to kill her, or she was trying to. And if she had succeeded, we would have lost her. She would no longer been the innocent person that we know her to be. And honestly, all of that vengeance was misguided. Now, I understand how strong your heart is when it's telling you to do some shit like that. But you don't always have to listen to it. Sometimes you need to let logic prevail. Both of them bitches were acting off of their heart, not logic, because then they would have knew some shit like what happened would have been possible. Do you get what I'm saying? So I love that aspect of it. It was one of the most in-depth... It was one of the most in-depth experiences I've ever seen filmed out or played out about the cost of revenge. And I think they did it flawlessly. The other thing about that is people were mad at this game because it didn't give them the story that they wanted. I feel like if they had wrote the story that we wanted, then it would no longer be their story. It would be our story. Well, I'm in it for the story that you told me. So I loved it. And it's like the same thing with the end of the Game of Thrones. People were mad at the Game of Thrones because it didn't end the way that they wanted it to. Well, if it ended the way that we wanted it to, it would no longer be those people's story. They're telling us a story. We're not writing a story. We're just watching the story. But people are mad because it don't go the way that they wanted to go, the way they wouldn't have written it. I would have written it completely differently. And that goes for The Last of Us 2, too. I would have wrote that shit differently, too. But I'm not going to sit here and shit on these motherfuckers for giving me the story that they gave me. Because it was fucking phenomenal. Now, so I talked about the past and the present. Here we go, the future. This is what I think happens for the future. This is what I hope happens for the future. If there is a Last of Us 3, I only see it going forward one of two ways. First of all, Ellie has run her course. We've seen everything that we need to see from her. Her story has been told. And it's not that I don't want to see her again. I feel like she'll be part of whatever comes next. I just don't feel like she'll be the focal point. Because in this, the one in The Last of Us 2, I believe... At least I read. I don't know if they said it in the story or not, because sometimes when I'm gaming, I'm doing other shit at the same time, so I might have missed this part. That even if the doctor had been able to do the surgery on Ellie, it still wouldn't have saved anybody. Everybody still would have died, because it's not whatever she made her invincible to that particular plague was not transferable. So killing her, Joel was right. Killing her would have been not conductive, not productive in the way that they thought it would be. I don't know who decided that just doing whatever surgery on her would be the catalyst to kill whatever this virus was, but it wasn't going to work. So that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true. Maybe they'll go into detail about it in The Last of Us 3. But that's what I heard. And I believe it. Because just because one person has this thing don't mean you can... If I got diabetes and I wanted to transfer... how do you transfer that to somebody else because of a surgery? You can't just put that shit in somebody's system. You get what I'm saying? So how would they take this thing or take something from her and put it into other people or figure out... I just didn't understand it. That part of the shit didn't make no sense to me. So that's the first thing. But here's who I think one of possibly two and protagonists is going to be for the future. Who it could possibly be is Lev. Provided Lev survives, you have to forgive me. I'm not one of these people that participate in transphobia, no shit like that. But it fucked me up for a minute because it's not because I'm trying to misgender Lev. It's because whenever I think of Lev, I always think of his sister too. Because she was a... Between those two, I'm going to be honest. Those two, Lev and his sister, were my favorite part of the game. I absolutely adored them. The most upset I was in the game was when she died. That fucked me up. I hated that. But he's my boy. I really appreciate him. I really do. That story was touching in a way I was not expecting it to be. And the funny thing about that is everybody thought that when the rumors came out that there was going to be a trans character trying to kill Ellie in the game, that was Abby because of her build. How stupid can you be? There are bitches built like that out here right now. And we never say that about the... Okay, that's not true. Racism, we say that about the black ones. We don't say that about the white ones. I've never heard anybody say no shit about Ronda Rousey looking like a motherfucking man, but I have heard and repeatedly hear people say that shit about Serena Williams. So fuck the bullshit and fuck the racism. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. So ain't gonna be no transphobia up in here. In any case, Lev is one of the people who I feel like could tie the story together the best after if there's a Last of Us 3. But here's who I really think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be JJ. I think JJ, because he has a relationship with Ellie, he's going to be the protagonist in The Last of Us 3. I think it's going to be like 20 years in the future or some shit like that when Ellie is an old ass lady. Well, she ain't going to be an old lady. She's going to be like in her 30s or 40s or some shit. But the baby will be grown up. And I feel like him trying to do something, who knows, maybe they'll end up on the same side. I know the bitch was going... Abby was trying to go find the Fireflies. Maybe she does. One time before Joel, Abby was pro Fireflies too. So who knows? I believe JJ is going to play a major part in that, and I hope he does. In any case, if I had to rate the game from 1 to 10, it would be a 10. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Adored it. I played through it twice. The second time, I didn't hate play through it. I just played through it like a normal person. And it was a lot of fun.
Needless to say, I'm odds and ends, but I'll be stumbling away. Slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry.
What's happening, everyone? This is Sean Shanahan, Shawnee Sacco on the PS4, Tylodog, the AWG on Steam, and we are here to talk about The Last of Us, Part 2. Make no mistake, this is a very polarizing game. People seem to either really, really, really love it or really, really, really not love it. I'm not going to talk about anything going on behind the scenes at Naughty Dog or any conspiracy theories involving the abominable snowman and Neil Druckmann or any of that stuff that was floating around. We're just going to talk about the game, the mechanics, how it looks, how the story progressed, things like that. I'm not really going to get into any of that other type of stuff. There's also a lot of talk in this game about, I guess, what people were calling inclusivity or PC stuff. And I'm not going to talk about that because, quite frankly, I was 100% behind it. I thought it was handled really well. And I have zero issues with bringing real people into the game that aren't straight white guys. I had no issues with that, no problem. I don't think it did anything to the game that really needs to be talked about. So this review is not going to focus on that type of stuff. We're just going to talk about the game and how it played. And also, being a sequel, it would be very easy to spend a lot of time comparing it to the first game. And I don't want to do a lot of that. You can't avoid it totally. It is a sequel. You have characters involved and such. But we're going to really try and just treat it as its own entity. Although there is a continuation of a story, I get that. And that will be involved. But I don't want to spend the whole time just comparing it to what the first one would have done. That is kind of pointless. First, just to talk about a few of the basics real quick. As far as the game mechanics, the gameplay, things like that, there's not a whole lot that's very different from the first game, if you did play that one. They're pretty straightforward. I don't have a lot of problem playing the game or understanding where things are, how to do things. It's very straightforward gameplay. There's not 800 weapons that you have to constantly choose from. They keep things very simple, and that's part of the experience of playing the game. I like how you move throughout the world. I have no issues with any of that. So that didn't, well, it's not necessarily a highlight of the game. Didn't impede the game at all for me. It's not really what the game's about. The limited guns and ammunition and the mechanics of the game, and they did add a new feature where you get to crawl around in the grass, and that was pretty cool. And it all contributes to the feeling, I guess, if you want to use the word, the vibe of being in that world. Like, having unlimited ammo wouldn't make sense. So they do great with that. That was great. But ultimately, when we're talking about The Last of Us, we are talking about story, and by extension, the characters. That's the money shot for this series. And I'm not going to talk about the story in detail. I'm just going to give a real quick rundown. I'm sure Effington will fill you in if he has to, and you could probably look it up on this thing called the internet. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But just for frames of reference for some of the things I talk about, run through the story real quick. Joel and Ellie have settled in Jackson, Wyoming. We are introduced early on to kind of a mysterious woman with her friends who, I guess it was supposed to be a secret that they were looking for Joel. I kind of figured it out in about 5 seconds, whatever. But eventually, this woman and Joel meet up, and Joel meets his grisly end in one of the more controversially talked about video game moments of the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. Joel is incapacitated with a shotgun and beaten to death with a golf club by this woman right in front of Ellie. It's a heavy moment for those of us who really love the first game, no doubt about it. There are some great reaction shots on YouTube and such of people reacting to that scene. It affected a lot of people, for sure. But I had no problem with it. I was affected by it. But I understood, from a storytelling standpoint, very often, especially if you're going to treat it as kind of Ellie's hero journey, the older, wiser sage who has been leading the person through the journey so far, it's a very common storytelling thing to eventually have them die. Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, same type of thing. He got Luke to a certain point, and then he had to die. And you could see Joel in the same context as that. And as much as his death was sad, I got it. I understood that they had to create a story. It couldn't just be Joel and Ellie sitting around the campfire trading stories the whole time. I was okay with it. My review and impression of the game was not necessarily affected by the fact that Joel was killed. I felt like beyond any sort of shock value, there was a storytelling element to it. And so while I was bummed out, I was still playing the game excitedly. I was still wanting to find out what happened. I was still interested in the story. So Joel gets killed. Ellie decides to go find out who did it. She learns that they're in Seattle. And again, I'm going to rush through this real fast. Just so we have a small frame of reference, she goes on a revenge spree, finding the people who were involved, starts killing them off one by one. We come down to a showdown with her and this woman who killed him, who is named Abby. They have their showdown. And then this is where the game really hits its make or break point. They stop the game, stop the narrative. And then we pop back about 3 days and start playing the game as Abby in Seattle from her point of view. And as it turns out, Abby's father was a doctor that Joel killed in the first game when she was in the Firefly Hospital at the end. And so we're learning about why Abby did what she did. We're learning about her motivation to kill Joel. And cognitively, I got it. I mean, there's a point. I thought, oh yeah, that's messed up. I get it. So I didn't necessarily have a problem on that level. But we follow Abby along. We keep going. And after about 2 hours of playing her, I was like, wow, they're really selling this hard. I kept waiting for them to kind of go, okay, now let's get back to Ellie. And we kind of did, and they stick with Abby until it's literally half the game playing as her. And so we play through Abby's story, meeting all her friends, her social circle. We get back to the confrontation where we had split off before between Abby and Ellie. All sorts of things happen. Shots are fired. Long story short, Ellie and Dina are laying on the ground covered in blood. Abby walks away, and we cut to the epilogue. And I guess perhaps the game suffered from Red Dead-itis, where the epilogue might have been a little long and unnecessary. At the end of it, Abby and Ellie have one more showdown. Ellie has Abby under the water, ready to drown her, gets a image of Joel playing the guitar, and suddenly decides that she wants to end the cycle of revenge, lets Abby go with Lev, her new friend. They take off, and that's where the story ends, with Ellie sitting in the ocean, bloody and crying. Now, again, that was a very rushed, condensed version of the story. I didn't want to spend 20 minutes just explaining the story. I more wanted to talk about what the game or the story really was banking on, the make-or-break moment. And that was the idea of the dual narrative. We knew Ellie from the first game. We already had a relationship with her. And so we were following her, and we were developing that even more. And we were also developing a relationship with Dina, who is a new character, Ellie's love interest, girlfriend, wherever. And I liked them both. Many of my favorite moments of the game were kind of just hanging out, Ellie and Dina. I liked them together, and I liked the characters. And that was cool. And we get up to this point where we split back and we start playing as Abby. Now, next to Joel's grisly demise, this is really the most talked about point of this game, is that we spend half of it playing as Abby, this new character. So basically what they did was they set up a narrative structure where we're playing half the game as Ellie. We understand her motivations. We understand what makes her tick. We know what she's doing. And then they wanted to do the same thing for a second character in the game, Abby. They stop the game right in half. We basically start again, and they show us her side of the story. Now, in and of itself, I don't have a huge problem with that. But where ultimately the game, I don't want to say fails, or prevented it from being great, is that as much as I cognitively understood what they were doing with Abby, I didn't find her that compelling. I didn't find her that interesting. An hour I could have done, but to play as her that long, I kind of started losing interest, and I didn't care that much. Not to sound callous, because on a human level, I understand why she was doing what she was doing, but a story-driven movie, game, book, whatever, concepts are good, ideas are good, notions are good. All that stuff is great, but you have to express it through characters. It's all about the character. And if I don't connect to the character, none of that other stuff really is going to mean a whole lot. And ultimately for me, Abby just wasn't that interesting. To put it another way, if you released the game tomorrow, Abby's story, in that world, as Abby, and you play as Abby, and you do that, I don't think that's a great game or a great story. I just don't know if that's a story that needed to be told. I just don't feel like I needed to play that story that long to get it. It seemed to me like they had a concept, they had an idea they wanted to express, but they didn't really have a story. And so they kept trying to make the story work around this concept they wanted to express of the cycle of revenge, and everybody has a story, everyone has a point. But ultimately, the story has to be carry the weight of this, not the concept. And it seems to me like they're like, hey, you know what would be a great idea is if we do this. But they didn't have a story for it. And they kind of had to make it up around this concept. And I feel like that's why many of the characters in Abby's part of the story just kind of fell flat. And even Owen, who was really the main thrust of Abby's story, and that is not a pun on the most awkward sex scene in the history of video games, although it could be. Really, with Owen, the only reason he was important at all was not anything he was necessarily doing on his own. As a character, it didn't stand on his own. It was just, oh, that's Abby's flame. So I really, they had one good scene with him where he talked about the guy who was old and tired. Okay, cool, but I never connected with him in any way. And as far as the rest of Abby's crew, yeah, they were in and they were out and just okay. And they tried so hard to make us like her. I mean, they really laid it on thick. Someone made the remark that, you know, it's almost like every time she was in a scene, someone was holding a sign in the back saying, can you please like Abby? The script really needs you to like her. I kind of felt the same way. You know, look, Abby has a dog and you killed her, you stupid asshole. How could you have done that? She's a person. You know, just laying it on so thick. And it got a little tiring. The whole meta thing in video games, it was done really well by BioShock 13 years ago. Other games have kept trying it. And we've got it enough at this point that I feel like when we pick up the controller, we know what we're doing. I don't need that lesson anymore. I just kind of want to get a character I could really like. A lot of the characters in this game I do like. I like Lev, I like Yara, I like Jesse, I like Dina. I like the characters in this game. It's not that I didn't like them. It's just I didn't find them compelling enough to play as the main character, particularly, you know, in this case, Abby. And that's where the game ultimately fails. The structure of it, they really bet everything on us going, wow, I'm really into Abby's character now, which if they continue this story, it's pretty obvious she's going to be a main part of it. And I just didn't find her that interesting. The idea is good. I really think it's great that there are people writing games that are taking bold risks rather than bad things happen, kill all the bad guys, big boss fight, end. Good. I like that they're taking risks. I think it's a cool thing. But it also requires a lot of skill and a lot of finesse to do it just right. And I feel like this was just a little heavy-handed that by the time I got there, I was just tired. It's like, okay, enough. I got it. If you want to see an example of something that did this right, the movie Black Panther. Now, they go through the scene, they set up all the characters, and we've all seen the movie. I'm not going to spend too long on it, but we get to the point where Killmonger, Eric, shows up, and he's challenging Black Panther, and you think he's a bad guy, and he presents his story. And you say, man, he's got a point. I kind of see what he's saying. And they shade the story with this, And that's what made it so effective. That's what made the ending scene so touching as well in that movie. They didn't have to spend half the movie following Killmonger around, or following Eric around. They were able to get it across to you pretty quickly. And I wish this game had taken that approach, because ultimately, as though I do like the game, I don't love it. And that's the reason I don't love it, is because ultimately I didn't connect with Abby very much. So I gave it a 7 out of 10 on a Metacritic. I don't think it's great, but I do think it's good, and I do think it's worth playing. The world is just an amazing world to be in. And I would definitely recommend it. I just wouldn't rave about it, I guess it would be the best way to put it. And really the best way to put it is, when I found out that they were going to be making The Last of Us Part 2, I was excited. I was amped. I was looking forward to this game. And if you came to me tomorrow and said, hey, they're going to be making Part 3, I'd probably go, oh, cool, I'll check it out, maybe. And as someone who really loves that first game, that is a bit of a drag. I was feeling a little let down by the game, no question about it. It's not a bad game. It's well executed on a technical level. It really is fun at parts. Don't get me wrong. Being in that world is a lot of fun, but they bet everything on the narrative structure. And for me, that structure just kind of buckled under its own weight after a while. Definitely is a good game. Really good game, just not a great one. And unfortunately, I did come in with some expectations, and when those get let down, it does have an effect. So, like I said, I gave it a 7 out of 10. It's about where I would put it.
We have some awesome listener feedback today. We got two pieces, both from members of the LC Gamers group, that's the Lane County Gamers group, on Facebook. In fact, everybody who you've heard from today are a part of the Lane County Gamers group. So if you are a resident of Lane County, you live in Oregon, out here where we're having these awful wildfires right now, make sure you stop by the group, join, have fun, make some connections, have some gaming partners, that type of shit. Everybody in the group is fantastic, great. We haven't had any problems. Make sure you come stop by and say hi, or even join the group. That would be lovely as well. In any case, let's get to this feedback. Ryan says, I'm going to be as vague as possible because I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but Naughty Dog did an absolutely wonderful job in making me hate a certain character, only to really like said character towards the end of the game. How they chose to tell multiple perspectives of the same story was fantastic, in my opinion. I agree with you that they did, in fact, leave it open for multiple possibilities moving forward, and yes, it was exhausting. LOL. Yes, it was. It's our boy Alan out here representing Cottage Grove, and he says, oh man, I just beat The Last of Us 2 right now. Wow, I can see why now people are upset about the story. I personally love the story. I was taken back to see Joel get Negan'd. That's a Walking Red. I can't even speak no motherfucking more. That's a Walking Dead reference for those not in the know. Of course, y'all know I know, because that's my motherfucking show. But I knew where the story was headed to after that. That it was going to be revenge driven the whole way through, and I could appreciate playing as Abby, her story almost mirroring Ellie's. I understood what they were trying to do. They were trying to get you to see things through her point of view, so you would be conflicted by the time you got to the final showdown. Damn it, it worked. Went from hating Abby to sympathizing with her. That's the thing with revenge, is that you have to be ready for the consequences. And man, did a lot of unnecessary lives were lost in sake of revenge. All their close friends and their soldiers got it. Felt so bad killing those dogs, I tried not to at first, but even at the end, when I was having my final fight, I didn't even want to fight. I was thinking to myself, only way to win this is to put the controller down and not fight. I'm glad she stopped just before drowning her. I mean, what the hell? She had it all, a girlfriend and a kid and a beautiful house and a farm. She traded it all for revenge and a couple of fingers, LOL. I thought it was funny and sad that she couldn't play the guitar. Damn, now I'm just saying. I'm just saying that she threw that all away. Though she had PTSD from watching Joel brutally murdered in front of her, and she knew that she needed closure to end it once and for all, I guess I kind of wished I could choose that ending. I would have left things be. Not went to Santa Barbara to kill Abby and lived out the rest of my life on the homestead. But I can see they wanted to extend the game a little further and that they wanted to tie loose ends. In conclusion, great story. Not every video game needs a happy ending. I cannot agree with you more. I think that is one of the keystones to making a good game is if you can get to the end and still have a little bit of tension, that's what's gonna draw people back to the game. That's just my personal opinion. He's not saying that, that's me saying that. In any case, what was that? Could have been worse. They could have killed off Ellie too. Mentally was ready for that the whole time. Like, have you choose who lives, that would be cool, but meh, ending just meh. I just like how it showed the consequences of the character's action. Joel killing the doc and not letting the surgery happen and seeing chain events that proceeded after that. P.S. I almost forgot, I'm originally born in Santa Barbara. I used to live there a good portion of my life, and I was excited to hear them mention Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is a beautiful place, so beautiful a couple of celebs have made it their home. Ellen, Oprah, now Prince Harry, and Meghan Markle. And I really appreciated the detail they put into the homes down to the street sign. It was so cool checking out and exploring Santa Barbara, especially the train station. I remember riding on that to and from Cali. That's how good it looks in and out. Seeing that detail was so awesome. If you ever get the chance, you should go visit. I don't think I need to tell you how beautiful the beaches are in SoCal. Thank you, Alan. That was wonderful. I'm so glad that you took the time to write that. Also, I want to shout out Ryan for taking the time to put in a little bit of comments. Also, big ups to my boy, Tylo Dog, for taking out time out of his busy ass schedule to put together his portion of this podcast. One more time before you get out of here, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Once again, I am Stumpfucker. I use the name Shawnee Sacco on PS4. It is Stumpfucker on Twitter. That's Stump, F-U-Q-R. That's how I get around it. Pretty clever. Thank you all for listening. And don't take my word. Go play it for yourself.
And if you want to get a hold of Ryan or Alan, you can do so in the Lane County Gamers group. Again, that's LCG Gamers. Residents of Lane County, come join us. I am Effington Major, also known on these internet streets as Paroxicus.
Paroxicus.
On PS4, Xbox One S, Steam, Stadia, and any other little gaming systems, I'm Paroxicus on every motherfucker. That's my internet name. So make sure you look me up. And also, make sure you visit the webpage, thegreatdivide.us, and click on the link that says dividedwegame.com, and it'll take you right to the site. And you can interact with us there, and you can talk to Styles, who is still on the team. His podcast will be coming out next month. We also might end up trying to get one from Crowbot as well, who's also still on the team. He would love to hear from you guys. In any case, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us for the 2-year anniversary, and we look forward to seeing you next anniversary. Until next time, we will see you next mission.